as South Africans. South Africa's G20 theme focuses on sustainability and solidarity. But US President Donald Trump's executive order advocating for Afrikaner solidarity and rights comes as no surprise. This is the power couple at play here. Trump, Musk, and maybe what the conduit was maybe the GNU model. I don't know. Ashraf Patel, assalamu alaikum, Ashraf. We had him. Let's see if we can get him again. We called him earlier. He was online. Somehow, the WhatsApp connection just quickly failed us for... There we go. Ashraf, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
Ashraf, I love the phrasing. Are we seeing this power couple of Trump and Elon Musk at play here? Maybe it was a good conduit for them, the GNU model.
Yes, fascinating times. What is called kind of shock and awe.
Yes.
But in the kind of trade and diplomatic channels. And it's fascinating for a number of reasons, I guess. The first is lots of theories around why the targeting of South Africa in particular. I think in context, it's literally the Trump first phase of negotiations. He goes very hard and very wide and very in your face. And this is his approach. I mean, he's done that with Mexico, with Canada, China, even India with the deportations. So that is one context of this very rapid shock and awe diplomacy by the Trump and Musk kind of duo.
Certainly, America would view this as the new power couple. Ashraf, makes sense why Trump and Musk became rather close during the election campaign. Those should have been telltale signs for us already.
Yes, and the problem is with South Africa's response. If we recall at the World Economic Forum in January, President Ramaphosa started on what is called his playbook. And his playbook for the last 8 years of diplomacy has been literally just a one track, which is investment, trade, attracting investment. Yes, there has been very welcoming moves around solidarity. The ICJ case in particular has made South Africa is a human rights, social justice, solidarity superpower. And we all very, very proud of that. Absolutely. But aside from that, the kind of posture has always been investment-led, attracting investment at all costs from 2018. And very little evaluation or review has been done around whether investment really has added value or jobs in South Africa over the last 6 years. Now, that has backfired because it's no more business as usual with the Trump administration. And so there is a lack of creativity, a lack of communication by the Ramaphosa administration. And they have been caught flat-footed. Especially his outreach to Musk, I think, is ill-advised. Musk can never change. I mean, these are ideological white supremacists. And there's no way diplomacy or some kind of identity, you being a South African, it doesn't cut with this crowd. And that is what I think the Ramaphosa administration completely misses. It's a blind spot in diplomacy, and therefore they're flat-footed and being abused diplomatically.
Ashraf, are we saying that South Africa's response, instead of it being measured to the current Trump administration, it's rather lethargic and kind of finds us in a state of inertia? Do you think that would be accurate?
Yes, but even worse, if you're progressive, what would have been expected by South Africa as a human rights, social justice power. One is, and especially this week, it was quite clear that the executive orders around white Afrikaners, etc., etc., if you read that order, is actually comes from a very neoconservative playbook. And the response should not have been to say, look, let's engage diplomatically, which is, again, the standard response of the South African government. We could have been bold. We could say, okay, if that's how you see solidarity, we're going to match you, and we as South Africa are going to demand from the United States that we have great concerns about the dire state of African Americans who are at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, who face the highest levels of incarceration. In terms of wealth, there's only 1/4 of the wealth of a, let's say, white American, who face police brutality on a regular daily basis. Mm. And all of this has been captured with the Black Lives Matter movement, all the data, all the information, all the cases. If we were true to what we say, that we're fighting for solidarity on a global scale, that would have been our response. So we would have matched the US punch for punch. And we have that capacity. We are part of BRICS. We should fear no one. And yet, we don't leverage those resources and those partnerships. And we choose a very narrow investment-led relationship with the US on a very narrow platform called AGOA, which even when you dissect the data, there's very little economic value add. And the value add that benefits is, again, the white minority, the farmers, the exporter of diamonds, the beers, the exporter of citrus and nuts, white farmers, agri-SA. So then what exactly are we begging for? That is the key question.
Asha, what we have noted also, the utterances by Donald Trump in respect of support and a helping hand he can extend to our Afrikaner community certainly got the DA and AfriForum scrambling and battling to provide adequate answers and affirmations as to whether or not they support Trump's utterances or not.
I think they're all kind of playing this out. As an analyst, if you look at it carefully, this is all well collaborated by white South Africa, i.e. the DA, Freedom Fund Plus, AfriForum, even liberal foundations. It's remember, this is about preserving the white kind of property rights, first and foremost. It's also about putting President Ramaphosa on the back foot within the GNU, so that he's so constrained that any form of transformation around land or property rights or employment equity or diversity in any of those major transformative programs would be highly diluted. So the president is on the back foot, but because of his own lack, not only him, his party and government's lack of any imagination or sovereignty. Yes, the statements are good. We will not be bullied. That's great. That is good, robust response. But then where is anything concrete? Where is a countermeasure such as Mexico that have said, look, okay, we will also put up tariffs by 15%. Why have we not done so? Yet we are a member of the G20, yet we are a member of BRICS. So that is what is kind of lacking, a huge glaring gap. We're not taking our sovereignty seriously.